Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's going on, guys? This is Chelsea Durden. Maybe trying to bring about the end of the world, but don't end it yet before you listen to Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
All right, all right. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got all of the bad boys here with me this evening. And we first off want to thank everybody for coming in with us. We are on our Facebook chat as well, so you can leave whatever comments that you have on there, and we will do our best to respond to them during our show. So with that, we're going to kick off with our three count. Our first topic tonight comes from comicbook.com, and I'm also going to be reading from Ringside News. And Comic Book titles it, Vince McMahon orders WWE talent to stop engaging with outside third parties. Now, this was making a lot of noise on Friday, which actually was a shame because as we were talking later in Wrestling Talk, I actually thought SmackDown was a pretty good show. So it was amazing how this was really what was the talk that was happening during something that actually was looking pretty good. Of course, that's just my opinion. We'll talk about that, like I say, in our Wrestling Talk. But yes, Vince McMahon, apparently a letter was sent on Thursday this past week, and alleged that performers using outside agencies to push their careers or potentially doing so at the detriment to WWE and their vision. It was, quote, saying, some of you are engaged with outside third parties using your name and likeness in ways that are detrimental to our company. It's imperative that these activities be terminated within the next 30 days, okay? And that's by Friday, October 2nd. Okay, continued violations will result in fines, suspensions, or termination at WWE's discretion. Now, it also speaks that it's not known exactly what third parties that is referring to, but there's general belief that Twitch and Cameo will be included. Numerous talents have been using these platforms in recent years, and in some cases, it has helped them become popular with fans to a level that WWE television has not. And WWE has sometimes resisted WWE talent getting themselves over with the public in venues outside of their control in the past. And this seems to be another example, as the company likes to be in control of all aspects of their talent's character. Now, I could tell you on Friday, I was beginning to see the tweets that came in and everything that was coming through. And I guess Lana was taking some big hits. For starters, the reason why is because apparently she's doing something with Bang Energy Drink, a commercial, and I guess that's the reason why. But of course, in the Ringside, it says, hey, AJ Styles revealed several things over his Twitch stream since he moved from Mixer. He talked about beef with Paul Heyman, the Good Brothers releases, how his son doesn't watch WWE, and then he revealed his positive coronavirus test results. None of those things were okay with the company, and it was noted that revealing his COVID-19 test was, quote, a big one. Or how about they're told that Paige Twitch channel isn't, quote, that big of a concern because she's not on TV, she's just doing her own thing, end quote. That doesn't mean she will be able to keep her channel if anyone else is forced to take theirs down. So we don't know what her situation would become. Another issue is Cameo, as superstars are going into business for themselves, literally. It was said that WWE is trying to cut a deal with Cameo as a company or start their own similar service. YouTube's also apparently a problem for some as well. Sheamus' Celtic Warrior workout channel was apparently an issue since he uses the WWE nickname. So a lot of stuff, guys, is going on here. And I guess the question is, Does WWE have a point, or are they just being petty? Is this, you know, or what? What's your take? I mean, you got to look at it, I guess, from a business aspect, but you know, you also look at it from a talent aspect. So, which one of you guys want to go first and take this behemoth on? I mean, this was real big news. Even Andrew Yang, if you're familiar with him, got into it. He was running as the Democratic nominee, and he had a lot of things to say about that as well. So, fellas, I'm going to leave it open to you. Tell me what your take is on this.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm torn because I want wrestlers and talent to make as much money as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it allows them to get over at different avenues that maybe on TV, you know, they're not being used and things like that. You get to see a different side of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to some degree, they have WWE and Vince McMahon as a valid point that, you know, they own the names to these properties and, you know, the stuff that they, I would think that for a lot of this, like a Bang Energy commercial or things like that, you would have to get approval, but maybe not. And so, you know, I think ultimately this is one that the talent's just going to have to suck up. And it sucks for them because, you know, Twitch is very popular. I think AJ should have, you know, maybe disclosed that information there? Probably not, but, you know, it's a tough one. And you're going to see kind of the shockwaves of this one for a while as they begin to get stifled. But I think that it's just, it's what it's going to have to be.
Well, I can tell you, I know Paige says, hey, nope. I'm not getting rid of mine. Now, again, she's in a different situation because she's not on TV. But even if she gets on, I mean, she's, as right now, acting as if, hey, we're going to have to work out something or whatever because I'm still going to run mine. So it's interesting how this is going to play out. I was even wondering, like Xavier with his up, up, down, down, is that going to be affected too?
No.
Okay. No, that's, yeah.
Okay.
That's something that WWE is invested in, too, so...
I got you. Okay, Sin City, man. What's your take, man?
Yeah, Up, Up, Down, Down is subsidized by WWE. They sell merch, like WWE-licensed merch for Up, Up, Down, Down.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where as much as they want to, you know, try to play it up, that it's not a direct, like a directly funded account or channel. It mm-hmm. definitely is. Now... ultimately, what it comes down to is the verbiage in these contracts that these guys have signed. So they had the opportunity to read their contracts before they signed them,
mm-hmm.
and they've chosen not to. Obviously, as Lucky had mentioned, I mean, we walk kind of a fine line between, you know, the quote-unquote best interests of the people that we look up to or idolize on TV and all that kind of stuff, or, you know, whatever the situation might be. But at the end of the day, Vince told Superstars that the company owns their legal names as well. This is very important. One of the websites, WrestleNomics, actually showed a passage from Stephanie McMahon's talent contract as an example, and it states in the contract, it states WWE owns intellectual property, including quote trademarks, service marks, copyrighted works, and or distinctive and identifying indicia, including legal name, ring name, nickname, likeness, personality, character, signature, props, gestures, routines, themes, incidents, dialogue, actions, gags, costumes or parts of costumes, accessories, crowns, inventions, championships, titles or other belts, and any other items, tangible or intangible property, any other items, tangible or intangible property, written, composed, submitted, added, improvised, created, and or used by or associated with wrestlers' performance, in the business of professional wrestling or sports entertainment. Literally, these people have sold their soul to the devil.
Yeah. Read the last sentence again.
What part? The last sentence.
Was very last right? sentence. The right before it ends.
Improvised, created, and or used by or associated with wrestlers' performance in the business of professional wrestling or sports entertainment.
There's your argument. Your legal argument right there is that by going out and doing a Bang commercial, you're not doing that as part of a wrestling product. Yeah. That's their defense.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And the thing that astounds me is, you know, WWE wants their cake and they want to eat it too. They want these guys to not be on a payroll so that they don't have to pay for health insurance or any of that kind of stuff. They don't want these guys to make money outside of WWE. You know, some people have blatantly used their legal names, you know, and not gone with their WWE alias. So they don't have these guys under a contract. They're independent contractors. And so this reignites the debate that everybody has had and was especially profiled by John Oliver on HBO recently, and just how ridiculous things are with WWE's practices when it comes to this stuff. Again, at the end of the day, WWE is legally protected, though, because of this ridiculous passage in the contract.
I don't think they could win the case, though, when it comes down to the fact that it specifically says while it's wrestling related.
In the business of professional wrestling or sports entertainment?
Yeah, which if you're doing a commercial, for instance, WWE cannot make money off of you doing a movie.
Right.
So if, you know, this is alleged, Lana's getting, you know, it's blowback from Lana doing a Bang endorsement. So that could be it. We also don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
We're just getting all these reports and sources. The guy in this article seemed to list anything that was associated that he could think of to an outside thing. It's going to be... honestly, the wrestlers need to take up legal counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone who is basically given a cease or desist, because the interesting part of this is that they are being threatened with suspension
or termination.
Or termination.
Right.
So, in that case, then what stops guys who want to get out of their contract
from starting a YouTube channel?
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is one of the most asinine arguments, because what it comes down to is simply this. Vince is trying to do Cameo, essentially, most likely. So he doesn't want his guys on there because he can't get a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something he can easily create. Now, unless he starts his own fucking energy drink, what are you going to do?
Right.
But Cameo, something like that, is very simple to do. Mm-hmm. And when you say it in the blanket sense of we're trying to do what Disney does, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, monetize this and that, well, the fact of the matter is that that's all fine and dandy. But the idea of then... See, Disney is not necessarily, you know, when you get contracted by Disney, you're contracted for a movie. That's it. You're done after that movie. You go on.
Mm-hmm.
You speak all a studio system back in the day. So the studio system got broken because of this point that potentially what was happening is that studios would sign people and then would never really use them to their potential or demand that they do roles that, you know, could basically kill their career. And in the early 70s, it got fraught and the studio system dissolved. What you're dealing with right now is Vince is clinging to the end of what he created, which was a system in which you can't start a union. For as much as everyone wants to say union, 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 the fact of the matter is this. You can't start a union. Because if you're doing it under athletes, then you're not protected under the performer aspect. If you're doing it as a performer, then there's nothing to stop Vince from using the athlete argument. So he took the best of both worlds and has basically been able to exploit that. On top of that, if you're going to start a union, you need basically majority percentage of wrestlers to go along with it, because everyone would have to be part of that union. So it's Vince trying to milk it.
That's the one thing that I don't understand, why people in general just don't understand. And in every aspect in our life, we can change things if everyone just say, we're all going to come together to make this change. So this could be thrown out quickly when all wrestlers, like, we ain't showing up for tomorrow's Raw. We're not showing up for Friday's SmackDown. And you can go ahead with the whole suing and threatening and all that, but if no one shows up, you have no show.
But what about the retribution? And everything clears over. I mean, there's a lot of people that ain't on the top that's been fighting for a spot, just to get noticed.
What I'm saying is, this is the reason why this would never work, because someone is always going to be like, well, this is my time to shine. I'm just saying, though, that if everybody were to come together, I don't see how.
Because you have to get everyone together.
Yeah.
So that means from Vince McMahon to Tony Khan to Ring of Honor to, you know, every professional wrestling in the United States, including your independents. Now, if they unionize and that becomes, you know, a thing that wrestlers are doing, the problem becomes this. An independent organization will not be able to afford the union-regulated salaries.
Yep.
Therefore, what you're going to have is the independents full of guys who will work for nothing and will never join a union. Thus, they can't, you know, or they'll scab and go to WWE.
How about just, you know, let's skip the whole union talk and just say, let's just make them go against what they put in their contract.
Then you're looking at every single person having been, not only will they be sued, they'll lose the rest of their contract. They won't be able to basically get another job because of the way that the settlements will be worded. Basically, Vince will probably block them for 20 years.
Yeah.
You can't just block out on your contract.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I just get that. I just think when everyone's participating, something would end up being done than just saying, instead of me suing all of my 300 talent, I'm going to just, why don't we just not have this rule in the book?
Because they win.
Yeah.
The talent doesn't win. Vince wins. All those contracts are ironclad. There is not one person on that lawyer staff that will fuck up for that company, because that company is one of the biggest machines in terms of legal.
Let me ask you guys this, and I'll let you, Simon Street, get in if you want to jump in on this. And we see a lot of the people are commenting on our live feed, so we appreciate that. We'll throw some of that in as well. Simon Street, one of the things that's said in here is that it seemed like also there's a situation where Vince McMahon was pushed by those around him to say, quote, enough is enough. Do you think this was something that Vince really wanted to do? I mean, this has been going on for a while. Or people, are the investors or board members are going, Vince, we got to stop this. It's in the contract. Why don't we enforce it? We need to be doing something better with with our investors here to make them more money. Do you think that is kind of what it came up to, or this was just something Vince McMahon was like, he just thought of it in the middle of the day and said, boom, I'm now going to start enforcing it?
You know what? For once, I'm not going to be part of the sentiment of evil Vince McMahon. I think there might be some truth to that. And if you look at business, I believe that the investors, and with what they're dealing with and the losses that they've had dealing with COVID, of course, yes, they're going to be looking for other ways to stream revenue. And if I may, the reason why I state that is I read an article while reading the article you gave. Thank you for that. I read another one. It's by an author, Jimmy Wang, and he comes out of, it's called Wallet, Best Wallet Hacks. And, you know, he talks about breaking down, you know, particularly Twitch and how streamers make money. And, you know, there's lots of opportunities for streamers to make money by donations, advertising, subscriptions. They also have different tier systems for such as like Twitch having bits for people to cheer. I have witnessed, and I know Sin City Steve could probably attest to it, and anybody else watch stream, a lot of the source of their money comes from donations, from their streamers. So if you realize, let's just say, and we'll use Paige as an example because you mentioned her earlier. Paige is starting to get very successful with her Twitch stream channel. Very successful. And it's not just because of her looks. She knows her stuff. She has the personality for it, and she's very entertaining to watch. The thing is she's using a name that's licensed by WWE. And so part of, even though she has a great personality and her work ethic as a streamer is excellent, she is using something that the WWE built up in a name and using as part of that. Now, this would totally be different if she used her biological name
now, instead of her. And interestingly about that, I heard that she actually changed it.
Okay. No, it's in the paragraph that I read.
Oh, so
they signed over the use of their legal name to WWE as well.
Well, again, if that's the case, and I'm sorry I missed that part when you said it or even read it. With that being the case, it goes back to exactly what Sin City Steve said. You need to read your contract. You know, we make fun of shows where they talk about a lawyer that didn't read a contract, and, you know, but I mean, everybody
should
read
17. A
contract. Exactly. Everybody should read their contract, whether it's a house, a car loan, a loan in general, because those small
details. But I'll go back to what Steve said with the example of the contract, and that is the last sentence basically says that you can't do anything in terms of when it's dealing with wrestling related, sports entertainment related. So the argument that a performer will have is, hey, my Twitch is my Twitch. I'm not doing it backstage on your time. I'm doing this, you know, I'm at home. Paige is a great example. She can't fucking wrestle.
Yeah, it's true.
So for her to be threatened, why does she care? Because at this point, threaten me all you want, I can take you to court and say, listen, I'm not an active wrestler. I'm under contract, you know, to you, but you're not utilizing me as the performer, so what am I doing wrong? This is where it's headed. This is where it's headed. It's going to go to court. Someone's going to take it to court.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting you did say Paige, because Paige, just after what we're talking about, doesn't have much to lose other than to spend money for a very good lawyer to fight this. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, she is not an active wrestler and can clearly, probably tangibly put that in, you know, the court statement. Like, I'm not being used at all. My show that I was on no longer exists. That was on Fox, which I think was, she was contracted with Fox.
She was contracted through Fox on that.
Okay,
yeah.
But I'm saying in the general, but I do feel that what may come out, and it's just my opinion, and I'll leave it at there, is I do feel that a lot of definition of how these contracts will be moving forward and how they are worded and maybe bringing about awareness.
Well, no, the contracts from now on will have this inclusion.
You can't do
these specific things. You got to remember that when these contracts, where most of them were done, they probably weren't even thinking about this. But the Fox contract is a very good example, because that was a show that WWE was getting paid for their product, right? So Vince was making money off of it.
Exactly.
But if you think about it, what's the difference? You know, you had Paige and Renee and Booker T. These guys were being contracted by Fox to do a totally separate thing, except for the fact that it was something that Vince came up with and was owned.
Yeah.
You know? So basically, it's Vince saying, hey, it's the same bullshit he tried to pull. And I totally disagree. I do not think anyone got in his ear. I think Vince basically one day realized, you know, by someone pointing out that so-and-so had a Twitch channel or got a contract for this or whatever. And that's what led him to go, well, wait a minute. How come I'm not seeing money from this?
Yeah. And that actually, that brings up a really good point. I wouldn't be surprised if within the next, we'll say 60 days, within the next, because it expires 30 days. So within the next 60 days, if WWE doesn't launch their own kind of on-demand video platform and call it fucking Slammio. I mean, seriously, like it's going to happen. That way WWE can realistically still offer the people in the videos that are going to be doing the videos relatively the same amount of money as what they were getting from Cameo. But WWE is going to be getting that other half or, you know, 40%, whatever the breakdown's going to be. So everybody will end up winning in the end.
Except for you,
right,
who just gave Uncle Bruce the suggestion to pass along to call it Slammio.
So, you know what? Hey, when it happens, I will know where it came from.
Hey, with a name like that, Sin City Steve, that could have only came from you.
Yeah. Let's get into our second count for the evening. From WrestlingNews.co, Tony Khan addresses the decision to let Matt Hardy continue to wrestle after a bad bump at AEW All Out. So there's been a lot of backlash towards AEW for allowing Matt Hardy to continue to wrestle in a broken rules match at Saturday's All Out pay-per-view, and when it appeared that he was concussed. So, of course, this spot happened when Hardy and Sammy jumped off a raised scissor lift through tables, but Matt missed the tables to the point where the back of his head bounced off the concrete. Now, according to Tony Khan, he had his doctors on the spot. They kept using the name Dr. Samson, who went out there and did the checks to make sure that that everything was good, because they did stop the match. They stopped the match, heard the bell ring and everything. And from that point, it was kind of confusing what was going on, but we pretty much knew what would happen from that point. But next thing we know, we now see Matt Hardy back at it again. And we're like, okay. And so now we're finding out that he was cleared. And according to the Tony Khan, he said that, that first off, Dr. Samson has pulled people from their shows without hesitation before due to blood tests or injury. So he wasn't talked into it from Matt to just let him please continue the match. And he trusted the doctors and wouldn't go against the doctor's will. So from that point, Tony was like, hey, if the doctor clears it, he wants to finish it, let him finish it. Now, of course, from the same site, WrestlingNews.co, another title came out that was Ruby Hardy says Matt Hardy still in the hospital, and that is his wife, 1,000% concussion. Okay, she provided an update on her Twitter that says that he is still in the hospital, and despite what was reported earlier, he does have a concussion. She also tweeted that anyone in the eyes could have told you that. And I was actually looking at her Twitter page. Looked like I lost that, but she was going in on quite a few people. I think even Brian Alvarez, I saw her throw a shot at as well. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, here it is right here. Yeah, Brian Alvarez has said was told Matt Hardy was doing a lot better today, and then she responded, funny. Neither I nor Matt have spoken with you. Okay. Guys, what's your take on this whole thing? I mean, we know the how, you know, concussions, they happen, and we always hope that, you know, during these matches, when something seriously is really happening, that if something needs to be stopped, that it should be stopped. And, you know, at the same time, we do understand that there are doctors and on site, and I guess they're doing the best they can within the moment and within the time frame. But was this a smart move to still let Matt Hardy finish this match despite Dr. Samson saying it's okay? And, you know, from what we're hearing that his wife's saying right now, who want to take that on first?
I'll go first. I watched it yesterday, and watching it again to see how discombobulated he was when he was holding Sammy and then he tumbled to the ground. You know, I think a lot of it went into a lot of the decision probably went into, you know, Matt Hardy had done these matches and done falls and done all this stuff, so they gave the respect to the performer to continue. But there's no way, shape, or form this match should have continued. Mm. It should have been stopped. He should have been checked out, and it wasn't a good look. And I think the match actually was stopped earlier. You know, when Sammy went through the box, I think that match got stopped earlier. And the fact that he went up on the pole there too. I mean, this was just all bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looked tough. What would you say about this, Sin City?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a difficult situation. I mean, I think that this is going to be something that Tony will probably be second guessing himself on. I know that a lot of people have given Vince a lot of shit over the years. Whenever, you know, certain things have happened, the first thing that comes to mind is keeping the pay per view going after Owen Hart fell to his death.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people have second guessed his theory of the show must go on. So if we apply, you know, similar pretext, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form putting those two things on 100% level playing field.
Yeah.
But realistically speaking, in both instances, I personally believe that the show or, you know, in Owen's case, the whole show should have ended. With the Matt Hardy thing, they should have just stopped the match, found a way to book themselves out of it somehow. And realistically, I mean, if you wanted, one of the stipulations that they kind of backed themselves into the corner on was if Matt Hardy loses, then he is done in AEW. So I think that ultimately what they could have easily done was, you know, they could have played it up. How many times have they used him changing into his different personas for various things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, he takes a bad bump, and it makes, honestly, Sammy ends up getting a little bit of a rub off of it as well. And you could also then spiral that out into Matt either launching a new personality or going back to one of his other personalities for the remainder of his time in AEW.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You can book yourself out of it.
Yeah. Simon Street, it was pretty brutal watching that when that happened. What was your take when you saw that, oh, this match is actually going to continue?
You know what? To be honest with you, I was surprised. Normally, I usually with a smirk say I wasn't surprised. These people are just off the wall crazy. But I was a little bit surprised. I was kind of expecting, you know, a change. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's not cool to hear about it and see that. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just I now wonder with you know, the tweets that his wife sent out, you know, what's the whole story? And
what do you mean, what's the whole story? It's 1,000% a concussion.
Well, I'm talking about what's the story down the road is what I mean. You know, what's this decision process going to be? Because at the end of the day, is this the way you're going to start making decisions as a company? I'm just wondering. Or was this like a one-off, you just decided to make a decision, it is what it is? I don't
know. They've already showed that they're fucking hypocritical in their own decisions. Because back when Cody was fucking stuck like a stuck pig and bled all over, Tony Khan specifically said, "You will never see this on TV again."
Oh, he did say that. He did say that.
And people have bled more in the last fucking 4 weeks.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Than a fucking, you know.
I think you said it way better than what I was trying to get out. But I wonder now, with what it seems like the blood on the wall per se, it seems to be a repetitious decision of bad decisions. And me as a person that watched it, I'm not too happy with it.
Well, let me ask you, Matt Michaels. I mean, should this have continued if the doctor okayed it, or hell no? It's just Tony should have just stopped it the way it looked like it was being stopped. I mean, the commentators were from how they were describing what was happening, which is what we seen. They were I was already under the impression that it couldn't continue as a viewer. I was already under that. I was like, well, that's the end of that. So. It really got weird when I saw him then attack going, wait, and then the bell rung, and then it rung again. I'm like, it caused a lot of confusion even with that. So, I mean, what's your take, Matt Michaels?
It's simple. This guy is an accredited sports, mm-hmm. Doctor, okay? Mm-hmm. He serves as first vice president on a national group of sports doctors that have, a conference every year. So he's legit. He's out of Georgia.
Yeah.
With that being said, I don't know under any circumstance of a doctor who could literally watch this on a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And in good conscience, allow a person to go back out there.
Yeah.
Unless you work for the fucking NFL.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Because it comes down. In the NFL, it's all about fucking money, right? So this proves to me that for anyone who wants to say otherwise, AEW is about one thing. It's money. It's not about you fans. It's about how much money they can make off of you fans.
Mm.
All right? Because Matt Hardy's health did not matter at that point. And they did this, all right, on top of Matt Sydal almost fucking killing himself in the ring.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this came after that spot. And Sydal's was... it was through the, actual ring work. It's the danger you take in the profession. When you're talking about this was a fucking stunt.
Mm-hmm.
And again, anything you do that is not an actual in-ring work, you are basically putting your life on the line. So, if Matt Hardy was willing to do that spot when him and Sammy were talking about the match going over with the agent, then that was, as Rebby actually said, Matt's dumbass for actually doing the fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah.
And then it was his dumbass for saying that he wants to continue.
Right.
Because he's not going to say, I'm not going to go back out there.
Yeah.
No, get it out. Yeah.
So one other thing that I have to put out there as well, this doctor is not just any ordinary doctor. So Dr. Michael Sampson actually worked for WWE before he was affiliated with AEW. So he's actually also credited with being the doctor that saved Jerry the King Lawler's life when he had his heart attack back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just some random Joe Blow that's, that no one knows who he is or what he's done. At the end of the day, you do have to put a little bit of stock and credence into what he had to say. And there are always three sides to every story. And that third side obviously being the truth. because no one's going to tell you the absolute truth as their, you know, their vantage point.
So you're talking about the 24/7 European 96/32 champion of the generational worlds, that truth?
.com.
Well, let me say this too. I mean, if you're watching this spot and you see this go down, just remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago when Matt Hardy got busted wide open. I mean, that should have been the precursor, and you should have just stopped it right there. I mean, you know, there was no reason for that to continue.
These two guys have been cursed because if you remember, the next week, Sammy had that hellacious head wound from the table. So, yeah, I mean, both guys have gotten each other really good with this. I mean, whatever. Yeah,
either cursed or going too hard, you know, trying to sell it as best as possible, and it just...
got out of control.
Yeah, that's. I mean, they're not trying to sell. The thing is that when you put yourself in that position, you are taking a risk. It's as simple as that. Matt just was not able, in terms of the way the trajectory went, to stop himself from his head just hitting back like that. So there was nothing to break, you know, essentially because they were off just a little bit, there was nothing to break that fall. And that's the danger when you do shit like this. The truth of the matter is that even though the doctor checks you out and says, hey, he's passed the concussion protocols, at the same time, someone, whether it been Tony Khan, whether it been the doctor himself, or whether it been, you know, whoever was running the actual show, you know, whoever was at Gorilla or fucking, you know, someone needed to be the adult and say, no, no, you can't go back out there. That's that. And we can, guys, here's the thing. We can pick this up fucking on Wednesday. That's the problem. Yeah. The problem is that you can do this another day as long as you lose another day to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get to our third count topic, and it comes from ESPN, titled The UFC Debate, Why Brock Lesnar Shouldn't Return to Fight Jon Jones. Now, it speaks about that UFC president Dana White said Tuesday night that a fight against Brock Lesnar will be a good way to introduce Jon Jones to the heavyweight division. Now, Lesnar is 43, and he hasn't fought in UFC since July 29, when a lackluster win over Mark Hunt was declared a no contest because of a failed drug test. On the other hand, there isn't a bigger name Jones could face in his heavyweight debut than Lesnar, including champion Stipe Miocic. And Jones already indicated on social media he's all for it. So we got a chance to look at the story, all of us. The ESPN reporters, Brett Okamoto and Mark Romandi, have opposing viewpoints on a possible Lesnar return to the UFC. And they made their cases. We all kind of read through their cases. And then what we're going to do is make our case and think and say, based on what we read, who we side with in this, should Lesnar return to fight Jon Jones? Or better yet, or also included, should he come back to UFC? We all know how this usually works when his contract is this is up. But hey, let's just
for more money.
Let's play this up though, King Lucky. This is more of your big thing. What's your take when you got through reading through all of this? These guys made some good points. They talked about age. They talked about money. They talked about fans. They went through it all. But what's your take?
And listen, at 43 years old, Brock looks like. He still looks like the beast incarnate, as he, you know, as they call him. He is a physical specimen. We all know this. He can still wrestle. He can still pound you out. I have no problem with him doing this. I mean, you know, it's clear that he wants another fight in the UFC. I don't know how long, you know, this will work. It'll probably be a one-off or whatever, but John Jones moving up to heavyweight is a serious threat to him. We all know that when Brock gets hit, he turtles up. Mm-hmm. So this is an intriguing matchup. John Jones is very good with striking, wrestling. I mean, there are not any holes in his game. Mm-hmm. He is the best mixed martial artist, period, the end. So it'll be a huge test, you know, for Brock Lesnar to avoid those strikes. But, I mean, if Brock comes in, smothers you, wrestles you to the ground, you know, and Brock's probably going to be somewhere about maybe 280, you know, versus John Jones, 240. He's going to give up a lot of size. So I'm intrigued by the matchup. I want to see it happen.
You know, one of the in the interview, you know, Mark was telling Brett, look, you know, I don't get your perspective because the Lesnar versus Hunt was not the most exciting fight I've ever seen. So, and then that was his last match. And yet you would want to see John Jones go against someone now that hasn't been in the octagon. Was it 3-4 years now? And that last match wasn't great. Do you really want to see? Is it that we're stuck in the idea of thinking that Lesnar really still can go the way he could?
Well, let me tell you this. I mean, Brock Lesnar is just not going to show up on Saturday night to fight John Jones. He's going to take it serious. He probably will have a 12-week, maybe a 16-week training camp. Mm-hmm. So there's no way that, you know, he's going to just show up. He's going to get the best training partners. He's going to isolate himself. And I think realistically, you will probably see one of the better versions of him because he knows what his weaknesses are, which is, you know, getting hit. But it'll be a full training camp. So I have no issue with it at all.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, guys, if you guys want to jump in there as well. What Brett mentions in one of his articles, he says, you know, it's not interesting to me to watch a guy fight past his prime just for the sake of it. But if Lesnar comes back and fight Jones, to me, it's WWE infiltrating the UFC. We kind of already know the outcome, right? All right. Wow. What would you want to say, either Sin City or Simon Street or even Matt Michaels?
I'll piggyback off of what Lucky had said. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not even that I don't have a problem with it. I want to see it. Mm-hmm. Sign me up. Shit. Either way, it's going to be a spectacle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both guys are going to beat the shit out of each other, and there's, you know, it's going to be a hard-fought victory, or one guy is going to beat the shit out of the other, and it's just going to be so one-sided it's not even funny. Either way you go, it's going to be good.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. The unpredictability of it all makes for box office, and there will be a lot of people. You know, one of the things that you think about during this pandemic, the UFC and the WWE have been able to get more exposure. So think about all the people that have been at home watching them, and you see Brock Lesnar versus John Jones in a crossover, that's going to do huge numbers, mm-hmm. huge.
You know, as Brett and Mark was summing up their interview, Mark ended saying, "Hey, I couldn't have said it better myself. And you say you don't know anything about pro wrestling. What you said is pro wrestling 101. Know why? Because MMA and pro wrestling have the same business model. So yes. Want to cover WrestleMania with me next year?
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
You know." What did you guys take, if you have any, on this Simon Street and Matt Michaels on the return of Brock Lesnar to UFC, and not only that, fight John Jones for the heavyweight title?
I don't have much to somewhat say, but I will say this one statement.
Sure.
If John Jones can't get it done with Brock Lesnar, you might want to just not go where you're going in the direction of heavyweight. Just going to put it out there. not saying that Brock Lesnar is an easy pick, but I'm saying – you have probably a higher percentage chance than you did with Brock Lesnar in 2016, which was the last time he was in the octagon. So that's just my little two bit.
Yeah.
But it's money. I'll watch it.
All right, Matt, I give you the last word. Here's an easier question for you. Do you even think that the Brock's going to even want to do this with UFC, or he's just pretty much, you know, saying, hey, I'm just raising up that price to come back to WWE?
If he gets enough zeros, he'll do it. I mean, it's simple as that.
Sure.
Two factors. One, Brett Akimoto is roughly around 29 years old. I want him at 43 to tell us how old 43 actually is. Fucking ignorant. And then the next thing is that, you know, for all this talk about how that last fight was boring, or how, you know, I'd hate to see this, or I want to see this, whatever, let's go to one straight up factor.
Okay.
And that was Brock gassed. He juiced. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that if he's going to fight in the UFC, he's going to have to take a steroid test. Mm. And can't pass that test, then what's the point of this? If he's going to get retroactively busted for it again, Dana will never do business with him again. Mm-hmm. So I would even have cautions of doing business with him based on that. But Dana, being the money-grubbing whore that he is, you know, of
course. Don't hold back, Matt Michaels. Don't hold back.
No, I'm not gonna hold back, because the fact of the matter is, and it's the same thing with Vince McMahon, right?
Sure.
This is what these guys do. So all four, Brock Lesnar, playing them off of each other. Please, you should be able to, in this case, he has no contract, go out and make the, if he was offered, you know, $1 billion to go somewhere else and do something else, to fucking, I don't know, do competitive, you know, wouldn't Vince have a hissy fit that on USA he got bumped for the Westminster Dog Show that Brock is walking his poodle in? You know? So I do what you need to do to make your money and to keep your, you know, your family afloat. And the other thing too is that Brock's kids are getting to the age where they're going to be, you know, they're pretty much almost on their own now, making their own money. So
yeah,
you know, it's honestly, I'm kind of pissed you made me read that whole fucking article.
Okay,
which was just two guys just like. One guy says, yeah, I want to see it. The other guy says, no. I mean, okay.
Hey, it's a debate.
They went on and on and on and on.
It was a great, nice debate, which is what I'm hoping to get out of you guys maybe in Wrestling Talk. You know? How about that? Man, a nice debate. And not everybody agreeing, because if you would have read that one, Mike Michaels, where Brett was saying one thing and then what's the name? Mark was saying the same thing. You'd be like, what the hell?
Their names. You just totally phased them out after the second paragraph.
Yeah, well,
because that's all. It was torture to read. And here's the thing, too. I'm all for a good debate. You know what's really good about debates? When you can actually hear them or see them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to sit there and read the absolute bullshit that they're using to fill an article, that's what I don't like. So, and Brett does live here in Vegas.
Well,
yeah.
So
we got to reach. Why don't we reach out to
Brett? Will he be contacting us very shortly? Is the question.
Why don't we reach out to Brett and we have an interview with him, right? Why don't we
should have a debate between him and Michaels. That way, Michaels.
Here's a great point. A very good point, and that is, I don't know what his contract says, because ESPN is another fucking company that does the same type of shit.
Yeah.
So I'd love to have him on and talk this and to see what his actual perspective is.
Well, hey, at least we're not paying him, so he don't have to worry about the ESPN. Don't have to worry about having some money off the top, okay?
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. Hey, so yeah, speaking.
But, But they're going to have to worry about the fact that if none of their people use rep, you know, sports for their necessities for training and everything, then we've got a conflict of interest.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Oh.
He tied it back around.
Yeah, what a shame, man.
Yeah. What does our contract say, Impact?
You know what? It's all on this piece of white paper here. It's nothing, as you can see. Yeah. It says nothing.
What does Page 17 say? What does Page 17 say?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, my bad. It's only one page.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's it for our three count. Thanks for engaging me in this week's topics. As always, we thank all of our guests for coming on and responding in our live comments. And we ask you to continue to download all the episodes on all of our different platforms that we have as well. And if you don't have the app yet, yes, Vegas Bad Boys Podcasting has an app on your iOS and Android. Don't forget to just go to your Google Play Store or your Apple Store and just download it. And we have a lot of fun with that as well. So with that, we'll see you on Three Count next week.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.